The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. There were those in Paul's day who was criticizing his ministry. Some had called it a ministry of death because he talked about the cross of Christ and the sufficiency of that cross. There are others who, you know, basically claimed that Paul was operating for his own purposes and to glorify himself. And so Paul is writing, in a sense, to defend his ministry and that ministry which God has given him. And this passage we read this morning is taken out of that context where he is in the process of defending that ministry. And he begins, in chapter 3, he kind of closed that chapter talking about the Jewish people had a blind mind to hearing the truth about Jesus Christ. They had a veil over their face. And he said, even today as they read the Old Testament, they read the laws of Moses, they do it with a veil because they're blinded to the truth of who Jesus really is. And then in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. For we have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's another sermon, and I probably will get to it with all the stuff that's going on in our world today. But Paul, ultimately, you know, Paul, there's so much craftiness and deceit going on in our world today, and people who are twisting God's word, you know, and that he's basically saying we can't compromise the truth. Then in verse 3, he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God. And our primary text is verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, or your slaves, your bond servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Part of it is not by my choosing. It's simply I think God has put a burden on my heart. And in the last several weeks, God has woke me up. I mean, I don't know any other thing to say about 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's been a pattern for several weeks. It's happening. Doesn't make much difference when I go to bed. God kind of stirs me awake at that time. And I spend some time trying to go back to sleep because I think it's too early to get up. But mostly what I end up doing is praying. I believe God has woke me up to really stir me to the heart of prayer. So I prayed a while in my bedroom, and then I got up and I went to the living room where I do my devotionals and my Bible and stuff is laying there. And I have a prayer list on my phone, and I took that phone and went through that prayer list and began to pray for people. My primary emphasis in those prayers, of course, is for our family and for our church. But then there I have a list of folks who have been coming to our church or have touched our church at some point in life. And I'm asking God to touch them and show them what they really need to do. And I pray for people that I know that are lost primarily and say, Father, touch their hearts and help them to have a heart that is open to you to be able to receive Christ as their Savior. And then, you know, I think most everybody except for our visitors know that I've had real difficulty in my family, and I've prayed for them. That has been a real burden for me and my children. And I see God work some miracles in some of my kids' life, and some of them are still in deep trouble. But praying for them is pretty discouraging. Connie had surgery this week, pretty discouraging. We're trying to make a decision in the building committee, and And, you know, nobody's been ugly or critical or anything like that. I'm not saying that. It's just that all of us have our own little feelings about what needs to happen. And what my prayer has been that we will hear the voice of God, and that when we do, we'll be in unity about that. You know, and that's a struggle for me, because I really believe that one of the reasons why we faced this fire and this trial is for God to stir us into something greater than what we've been. Now, that's not a criticism of anything you've done in the past. Understand that. That is not what that's intended to be. It's just I believe God has something greater and better for the future of this church. And he uses trials to stir us to that. And then after I prayed, about 5:30, I turned on the television and Charles Stanley was preaching. And ultimately he said, he was preaching about why we suffer, why we face trials. And he said, you know, the first thing he said was that the trials build our character. The reason God lets us go through them is so that we can build our character, and that we become more like Jesus Christ. It's one of the primary reasons that happens. And, you know, it all kind of falls into place for me that God wants us to be totally involved in ministry for his glory, not based on what I want or necessarily you want, but what does God want us to do? And being in the center of the will of God for what he really and truly wants us to do and where he wants us to go. And we have this ministry in this community. It is a ministry that God has given us that is going to have eternal significance and consequences. And what we do for Jesus Christ, honestly, what we do for Christ is the only thing that is of importance. Stephen Alford is recognized as one of the greatest Bible preachers of our day. For years, he was pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in New York. Today, with his son, he's gotten older now, but basically, they started the Alford Institute for Biblical Preaching in Memphis, Tennessee. And almost every preacher I know at some point has been up there to Stephen Alford's ministry for expository preaching. He's written books on expository preaching. He has a series of sermons on the whole Bible, basically, as he walked through there about how to preach expositorily. He is, they teach principles about, you know, taking the Word of God and staying in the Word of God to preach it and teach it. But he tells a story of his own life. He said, you know, his parents were missionary in West Africa, and he was raised in a missionary compound till he finished high school. And when he returned to England, he began to attend college. And while there, he backslid and became real interested in racing. And he said, I spent all my time in racing and doing, you know, the things that involved there, and I pretty well had forgotten God. And he said, but he was in a serious accident. And the doctors came in after that accident, said they gave him about a 10% chance to live. And as he lay on that cot, beginning to recover a little, he got a letter that arrived from his missionary father. His father had mailed that letter to him 3 months before. He didn't even know about his son laying in the hospital and having the accident. But he wrote these words to him. He said, Stephen, I've had an unusual burden on my heart for you. Somehow I've sensed, and even though we are separated by miles, that you're not walking in the way you ought to walk. I have some words for you, my son, to remember. Stephen, there's only one life. It will soon be past, and only what is done for Christ will last. And upon reading those words, Alford said that with what strength he had, he slid off the bed on his knees, confessed his sins, and asked God to give him another shot to be what he wanted him to be. And he committed his life to God. The miracle story is that 4 days later, he walked out of that hospital healed. And God has used him to be one of the greatest preachers of this generation. Folks, I don't think we can escape the words of the Father. We must make sure that our lives are not wasted. And we must make sure that the minister, I believe in all of my heart, we must make sure that the minister of this church is not wasted. We can do all kinds of things. Good things. But folks, as Paul said and as he ministered here, he basically is saying what we do for Christ is the only thing that's important. And so he talks about ministry. Verse 5, literally, I just kind of want to break that verse down for you this morning because that's the ministry I believe we're supposed to have. You know, he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." You see, first of all, we have a message to proclaim. A message. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, every Christian has a message. In this text or context of this passage of Scripture, in this verse, Paul gives us two reasons. Two basic reasons are given in this verse. In verse 6, he goes on to say, "For light shall shine out of the darkness. It's the one who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Ultimately, he says that one of the reasons we have a message to share is because we now have a light in our heart that shines out so the glory of God can be seen. We have a light. We're saved. We're born again. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, and because of that relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a light that has been born in our heart, and we are to let that light shine. Tonight's message, actually, as we've been walking through 1 John, is that God is light, and we'll be talking about that again. But folks, there's a light in us. It is the very presence of God that is in our heart that puts us indeed under obligations to share that. You can't shut the light down. Darkness doesn't destroy the light. With all the things that are happening, of course, next Sunday is 4th of July, and I know in my heart I'll probably deal with some of the junk going on in our country and address some of those things. Because, you know, I'm frustrated about it as everybody else is. But understand all the evil and all the decisions and all the twisting of the Word of God, it doesn't put out the light. God is light, and darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness cannot remove the light. You know, the light pierces into the darkness. And so we have a message to proclaim. It is the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we take seriously, you know, that in our hearts, we have a message to proclaim because the light is in us. And then the second reason why we must proclaim that message is what Paul said in verses, you know, 3 and 4. He said, "If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. For the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ." Folks, Satan is alive and real, and he is blinding the hearts and the lives of those out there till they can't not see the truth. You know, and the only thing that, and I believe with all of my heart, the only thing that will break that is for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached and proclaimed and heard. You know, until God opens some hearts and minds and overrides the darkness and the blindness. I have a brother that's 10 years older than I am, and he and I have gotten pretty close. You know, he lived when we were younger. He was gone by the time I was a teenager and around home, and then he joined the Navy, and he was all over the country, and I very seldom saw him for the next 25 years. But then he moved back to Spring Hill, and since then we've rode motorcycles to North Carolina together. We rode motorcycles to California. We went up to Yellowstone on motorcycles. And, you know, we gotten pretty close during the process of that. But my brother, raised in the same home that I was raised in, doesn't go to church. And he uses as an excuse, our mother had cancer when I was in high school, and she suffered terribly. Treatment was not as good then, and she died in 19. She was 47 years old. She died in 67, and it was, you know, and so she suffered terribly. And he just said, if there's a good God, then, you know, he wouldn't let that happen. And he just, you know, it's like his mind is totally blocked to hearing the truth and understanding what's going on. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, you've got a blind spot because you've made up your mind you're not going to hear the truth. And you need to begin, you know, need to open up your heart and begin to listen to the Word of God and be open to what God has to say to you about that. When I was interim pastor up at Calvary, our home church, it's been 3 or 4 years ago now, but he would come occasionally and hear me. And the last Sunday I was there, he came in and said, I'm going to give you one more shot, you know. But every time he gets around me, he gets under conviction. But you understand, my heart breaks for him because I know that his mind, that Satan has blinded his mind to the truth. How could intelligent men like we have on the Supreme Court and others make the kind of decisions they're making? Folks, there's only one answer. Satan has blinded the hearts and the minds of men to the point that they cannot see the truth. Therefore, it is important, it is imperative that we understand we have a message to share because we have the light inside of us, the light of the gospel of Christ, which shines upon the glory of God, and it is the only thing that is going to pierce into the hearts and the minds of a lost and dying and perishing world. And without that light, without God, they're going to hell. And our world is lost. Now, we get frustrated as Christians because the world don't think like we do. Well, the reason they don't is because they're lost. And their minds are blinded. Now, that puts the obligation back on us. We have a message to proclaim. Now, what is that message? Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. See, we preach not ourselves. It is not our kingdom. It's God's kingdom. It's not our agenda. It's His agenda. We are to be on His business, not ours. Honest truth is not about us. It's about Him. And second, we're to preach not ourselves and what we want, what we desire, but rather what He wants and what He desires, because our message is to be Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there's three titles that are given to Christ in that phrase. The first one is Jesus, the Old Testament word for Joshua, which means salvation comes. It means the deliverer, the Savior. In fact, at His birth, if you remember, the angel came to Mary and said, His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save their people from their sins. That's why He was given the name. That's the reason He came into the world and took on human flesh, and He died on Calvary's cross because He came to deal with sin and deliver us from sin. The only thing that could deliver us from sin, it was necessary that He become a man and to die in order to be our Savior and deliverer. So Jesus is the Savior. But then He also is the Christ. See, Jesus is the human name. Christ is His godly name, His divine name. It literally means the Messiah. And the New Holman Christian Standard translates Christ almost all the time. It translates it Messiah rather than Christ, because literally that's what it means. It is the Messiah, the one, the promised one. It literally means the anointed one, the one that they had been looking for and longing for to come into the world. God Himself was going to come. He was the divinely appointed one. You know, it is the God who comes to fulfill all promises. He was anointed to be able to do that, folks. Through His birth and His death and His resurrection, all the promises of Scripture were fulfilled. So we preach Christ, the divine Son of God. He is completely God. God has given Him everything that is in Himself. He said the Father and I are one. Folks, He is God. So we see Him as God. We see Him as man, Jesus Christ, Savior and God, man and God. One of the great paradoxes of Scripture, which we can't comprehend probably in all of our mind, how Jesus could be 100% man and at the same time could be Christ, which is 100% God and function totally. He didn't function part-time as God and part-time as man. Folks, it was all the time. It was integrated into a unity. He was the God-man. And then it says we preach not only Jesus, the Savior, who is God, the Christ, but He is Lord. He is Lord. In Philippians, Paul wrote that after Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us and emptied Himself by going to the cross, that God raised Him up. And then it says this, and God highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You remember the TV commercial? I don't know if I've seen it very often. I don't watch commercials much, you understand. I sit with a remote control. When a commercial comes on, I flip it to something else. See what else is on. But I do remember a commercial where this guy was holding up an oil filter, and he was saying, pay me now or pay me later. And ultimately he was saying, if you don't change your oil and buy this filter now, then sooner or later you're going to pay the mechanic to repair your car. Well, folks, I'm telling you, spiritually, that is a truth that is absolutely true. We can declare Jesus as Lord now, or there's going to come a day when we're going to be forced to declare Him as Lord, and we're not going to have a choice about it. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. Now, you know, those who are on the earth, that means from Adam until the last person is born. Every person under the earth, that means Satan and all the demons that are going to be there. And every person that is above the earth, that is the angels and all of the heavenly created beings that are there, and all the saints who have died and gone on to there. There's coming a day when every knee will bow before Him and claim Him as Lord. Now, and because that's true, it's difficult to understand why we keep on trying to run our own lives and do things our way. Folks, we're to preach Jesus Christ as Lord. We're to do His will. We're to be obedient to Him. We live in a day of compromise. Folks, we got people, you know, this is not a personal thing. It's just, but we got people who, you know, are living homosexual lifestyles, who's boasting about the fact that they know Jesus and that they somehow were homosexual. I'm going to tell you something, that's contrary to Scripture. Either Jesus is Lord or He's not. Either He knows the truth or not, you know. Now, you could apply the same thing to couples who live together and say, I know the Lord, and be disobedient to God. How do we claim to know God and live in total disobedience to Him? If He is Lord, He's Lord, folks. And we want life to be happy. And, you know, Jesus came, He said that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. If we want an abundant life, the only way that it happens is for us to submit in obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That means we have to examine all of our lives and say, what does He want me to do? And submit to Him as Lord. Now, that's the message of our church. That's the message we're supposed to be preaching. It's a message we're not supposed to compromise on, and we can't compromise on it. And because of what's going on in our world today, is forcing the Church of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's one of the reasons why God's letting it happen. It's forcing us to take a stand and say, we're not going to compromise on these principles anymore. And we're going to have to deal with the issue in our church. We're going to have to deal with the issues, because if we don't, the world and the satanic forces of the world will take over. So it comes a point we have to draw a line and say, this is it. We're going to stand on the Word of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're to be submissive to Him. We're to be a part of His church. Because it's His church. He said, I'll build my church and the very gates of hell can't prevail against it. We're never going to be everything we ought to be until we're in His church, a part of that church, and becoming a part of the ministry of that church. And folks, we have a message to proclaim. That message is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're under mandate to share it because we have a light in us, because He has saved us and the world is lost and perishing without Him. Then the second thing is we have a mission. See, we are his servants. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord in ourselves as his servants, or his, actually the word is bond slave. It was the slave that was bound to the master. He belonged to the master. Everything about him was the master's. You know, in the we got all kind of people wearing earrings nowadays, and you know, this sermon's not about that, but I'll tell you where it came from. Okay, in the Old Testament days, when a slave who had been a slave to a certain master for like 7 years, and then they could be released under Jewish law, if they chose to stay in that relationship, then they had to indicate it by taking an awl and driving a hole through their ear and putting an earring in their ear. And every time they walked out in public, that they saw that. That was the symbol of the fact that they were a bond slave. They belonged to their master. That slave literally had no possessions of his own. He had no money of his own. He had no time of his own. His loyalty was to his master. He was completely owned and possessed by the master. Now, that's the word that's used here. See, we are to be his servants. See, we have no rights. As a Christian, we have no rights. It's only his rights. We're to have no ambitions. It's only his ambitions. We belong to him. See, we are his servants. That is, we're supposed to be doing what he tells us to do. We live in a day, though, where we want to know what's in it for me. What am I going to get out of it? The churches that are growing in our world today are those that are entertaining people, meeting their needs. You know, they're just entertaining them. They're not really asking for any commitments. Have a lot of so-called non-denominational churches. I'm not saying you can't find Christ in those churches, and I'm not saying everybody goes to them is lost. I'm just saying that, folks, there comes a point where, you know, you have to make some commitments. We can't just believe anything in the world we want to believe and just entertain ourselves and call it worship. There comes a point where we have to make a commitment to say, I belong to Jesus, and I'm his servant, and that means we're supposed to get involved in doing something for Christ. And we don't get too old for that. We're not too young for that. You know, if we belong to Jesus, there's a place for service for us. And we're supposed to be his servants. Even Jesus himself came into the world. He said not to be ministered to, not to serve, but to minister to others. On the way to the cross, the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest among them. And Jesus stopped them and told them. He said, the one who's greatest among you is the servant. It's the one who serves you. Then when he got to the upper room, he demonstrated that by taking it. Another rest of them was willing to do that because they wanted first place. You know, even James and John got mama to come along and say, let one of my boys sit on one hand and one on the other hand when you get to heaven. And because mama said it, then, you know, they thought they'd have a better chance. Well, you know what Jesus did? He girded himself about with a towel. He took a basin of water and he began to wash the dust from the feet of the disciples. Because he was the servant. Folks, it's not the recognition or the money or whether we get the glory. We're his servants, so he is to get the glory. We have a mission to be the servants of God, primarily by proclaiming the message that Jesus Christ is Lord, piercing the darkness of our world, and our mission is to serve God by sharing the message. And then there's a motive. Why do we do it? Why do we do it? For Jesus' sake. tribulation. It's not because of what we're going to get out of it. You know, he began this chapter saying, therefore we have this ministry as we have received mercy, so we do not lose heart. And, folks, I'm telling you, it's, sometimes we get to the place we want to just throw up our hands and say, what's the use? And we want to just kind of lose heart and give up and say, why don't we keep on struggling, you know? Keep doing the things that we're doing. People don't understand. One of the greatest tools that Satan uses is discouragement to get us down. So, the only thing that works for me, and understand, I get discouraged. I fight depression. I've learned what it is, and I fight it. And I get alone with God and say, God, you are the Lord. And the only reason I'm here is because you put me here. So I want to do what you want me to do, so you're going to have to encourage me. I don't know what anything else to do. You see, some people are never going to understand. Some people are going to be critical. No matter how hard you work or how whatever you try to do, you know. And there's times you want to throw your hands up. Sometimes life just gets, I'm telling you, life gets tough sometimes. We live in a world that's ruined by sin, and life gets tough. And we don't know what we're going to do. We get up every morning and say, how am I going to make it through another day? Well, I'm telling you, the only real motivation that we have is for His sake. We do it for Him. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. We are His servants. For His sake, for His glory. Folks, that's the only worthy motive that we have for serving God. So the words that Stephen Olford's dad wrote to him ring true, and we've all heard them before, but, you know, they said, you only have one life, and it will soon be passed. And only what you've done for Christ will last. So I ask you today, do you have a message to proclaim? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you do. If you don't, then you need to come today so that the light of the glory of God can shine in your heart. And you can be saved and redeemed today. Come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And for those of us who know Him and are saved, what is our motive? What does God really want us to do? Are we serving where God wants us to serve and doing what God wants us to do? Only the Holy Spirit, as He speaks to our hearts, can answer that for you. Not me or anybody else. But if God speaks to your heart, you need to deal with it. For His sake. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity we have to be here in this place and to worship You. For the message of Your word, the challenge of the ministry You've given us. Now we ask You to speak to our hearts individually, and if there's a decision that needs to be made here this morning, You will draw us to Yourself, that we will be obedient to You. There's some need to be a part of this church. There's some need to be saved. There's some Christians that need to renew and commit themselves to You. We pray, Father, that this will be the hour and the moment they'll seize it. In Jesus' name. If you're here without Christ, would you come and let me pray with you and help you come to know that? If you are a Christian and you need to talk to me, I'll be here. If not, maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray and say, God, I'm going to give it to You, that You do what needs to happen. But as God leads you, whatever kind of decision you need to make, we ask you to be obedient to God this morning.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.